We're going to be talking this morning about unstoppable transformation. And that really comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. That is the story of Zacchaeus. Now, I've been accused of saying his name differently, Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus, or, you know, so however I pronounce it, you know, in the lesson, just kind of go with it because I may switch back and forth from one to the other. But Zacchaeus is definitely one of my favorite characters, and he is really going to teach us about transformation, how you can really change your life for the cause of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at our scripture, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because of his small stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. And he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You know, most likely we are all in need of some type of transformation. Our world is a tremendous influence on us. I was in the airport in Oklahoma City this last week, and while waiting to board my flight, I went by one of the stores there. And they had several books on the wall there. And I counted six books that had a completely vulgar word on the cover of the book. And I was astounded. Why would you even put this on your shelf? Why would it be a part of what you were trying to sell, this type of language? And it was really frustrating. It was offensive. You know, I think back in my history as a youth minister, the changes that I've seen basically because of culture, you know, where it used to be that it wasn't very popular for Christians to go to a dance or a prom or something like that. And today it is really widely accepted. And other changes that we have seen that maybe you can think of when you were a teenager, and things that have changed culturally because of that. A lot of that is technology driven. I can think of how technology driven we are today. And when I was a teenager, there really wasn't computers like what we have, certainly not phones and things that we have today. And so pornography and things like that was not necessarily readily available. You had to go to the store and buy the magazine or something like that. Now it's at your fingertips. It's very easy to see how culture has made constant changes in our society. And truth is, we often have a tendency to change with it. I want you to consider the words of Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and that was our scripture reading today. But this is the New Living Translation. I want you to take a look at it. Really puts it down to earth. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is that too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is." You know, God wants to transform us to be more like him. And in Luke 19, we see a man, Zacchaeus, in desperate need of a change in his life. There's a preacher, Charles Hodge, he's a preacher and an author. He talks about Zacchaeus being up a tree. And what he means is simply he's up a creek without a paddle. He is in big trouble, is really what he is trying to say. And I want to share with you three things that he suggested of how Zacchaeus was up a tree. First of all, we want to take a look and see that Zacchaeus was up a tree with his people. To the Jew, the word publican or tax collector meant the same as sinner. Those two words were synonymous. He was considered to be a traitor, a thief, a lowlife. He was an outcast who was not allowed to vote, to testify in court, or to attend the synagogue. They would not even accept his offering or donations. If he wanted to give money in some way, fashion, or form to the synagogue, or other people would not even accept his money or his donations. The Jewish Talmud said that there are three people that you can lie to: a murderer, a thief, and a tax collector or a publican. And so Zacchaeus was really up a tree with his peers and with his people. But not only that, he was up a tree with himself. See, the name Zacchaeus itself means pure and righteous. He destroyed his good name. He lost his integrity, and he sabotaged any chance that he had to make a difference in the lives of others because of his choices and his decisions. And not only that, he was up a tree with God. He was lost, and his soul was in danger. He was of no use to God, of no use to his man or his fellow peers, but he was worth saving. He was worth being saved, and so are you today as you sit here in this audience. You see, the transformation that Zacchaeus made was amazing. It was remarkable. It was one that you just could not stop. It was one that had to take place. But how is that possible? How is it possible to have a transformation in your life that is absolutely unstoppable? Well, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to let the scriptures answer that question for us. How is it possible to make an unstoppable transformation in your life? Well, first of all, we see that Zacchaeus encountered Jesus. We see that in verses 1 through 4. You know, this was not a chance encounter. Zacchaeus sought diligently to see Jesus. He went to extreme measures to seek the opportunity to see Jesus. So whenever we see the word seek or a form of the word seek in the New Testament, it always indicates diligent effort and never a half-hearted attempt in order to seek. Roger Babson, who is a well-known historian and economist, over 100 years ago went to visit the president of Argentina. And in conversation with the president of Argentina, the president asked him this question. He says, "You're a man of history, and you know things." And here's a picture of Roger Babson, and he's well known for the things that he said, such as this: "If things go wrong, don't go with them," and many other quotes that he's known for. And so this president asked him, he says, "You're a guy who is well-versed. How is it that South America was settled before North America, and with all of its resources and things that it has going for it, how is it that it's always seemed to lag behind in economically, in civilization, and North America is more advanced in these areas?" And Roger Babson thought for a minute. He says, "Well, obviously you've been thinking about this, and I would be interested to hear what you have to say about this." And the president said, "Well, this is what I think. I think that South America was settled by the Spaniards who came looking for gold. And I think that North America was settled by the Puritans who came seeking God." Guys, what we seek is important. And isn't this the way it should be with us, that we need to be seeking God? We need to go to extreme measures to seek Jesus. All who truly seek Jesus will find Jesus and will find transformation. All we have to do is go back to the New Testament and look at this. Take a look at John chapter 3. We have the man Nicodemus who came to Jesus seeking something. He came seeking Jesus. And Jesus tells him what he needs to know. And so we see that in John chapter 3, a man who sought after Jesus. And Jesus tells him that his life can be changed. His life can be transformed. And it was, because we see when Jesus was taken off the cross, Nicodemus was one of the men who were there to take care of the body of Jesus. What about in Mark chapter 10, we have the story of the blind man, Bartimaeus, who's sitting just outside the city gates of Jericho, and he hears that Jesus is passing by, and he shouts, top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Did that get your attention? Just a little? He's shouting at the top of his lungs, and people are telling him, just like parents tell their children, "Hush up, be quiet, don't say anything else. You don't need to be saying anything. He doesn't have time for you." And he still shouts at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stops, says, "Call him." And the blind man throws his cloak aside. He stands up and he comes to Jesus. That's a 3-point sermon. I may have preached that before at some point. I have to go back and look. But he comes to Jesus and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he says, "I want to see." And without touching him, without doing anything, Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." And this man came seeking Jesus, and he found Jesus. What about in John chapter 4, we have the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And she has come to the well at an odd time of the day, and Jesus is there and asks for a drink of water. And in this encounter that she has with Jesus, Jesus says that, "If you ask me for a drink, I'll give you living water." And she says to him, "How can you do this? You don't have anything to draw water from. This well that our ancestor Jacob made years and years ago." And as the conversation continues, here's a woman who has had all kinds of difficulty in her life and is in definite need of a transformation. And Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come back." And she says, "I have no husband." And he says, "Well, that's true what you've said. You have no husband. Truth is, you've had 5 husbands, but the man that you have now is not your husband." She was astounded that Jesus could tell everything about her. And she goes off and she tells others everywhere that she can, "Come see a man who told me everything that I've ever done before." And her life from that point when she encountered Jesus was completely changed and transformed. All those who truly seek Jesus will find Jesus, and not only find Jesus, but also find transformation. Take a look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." What about what it says in Psalm 9 and 10? "All those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." You see, transformation in your life will begin when Jesus enters the picture. And if you will seek Jesus with all of your heart and allow him to take over your life, change will take place immediately, and it cannot be stopped. Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus, and nothing was going to stop him. Not the crowd, not his height, not his pride. It didn't matter what the obstacle was, because he was going to scatter up a tree to find Jesus, to be able, with his own eyes, to see Jesus. He sought him out. This is a book by Donald Stratton, who is one of the five surviving members today of the USS Arizona that was destroyed on December 7, 1941, in the attack on Pearl Harbor. He has an amazing story, and this is a good book. It's actually on my desk in my office, and I've enjoyed reading it. If you'd like to read it, I'd loan it to you. He has an amazing story in the fact that there were 1,177 men who died on that ship that day when it sunk so fast because it was hit by a bomb. And he was fortunate to be in a part where he suffered injuries, but he was able to escape. But it was not something that was easy. He was burned on his hands and his arms. He was burned from his ankles up to his thighs. There was skin that was he had to peel off of his body because he was burned so badly in this flash fires because of the bombs. The ship was in flames. There was no place to go because oil had leaked out into the bay and was on fire. So there was no place to dive off of the ship. There was a small ship that was tied to the Arizona called the Vestal. And it was there making repairs. But the captain of that ship had commanded one of the men, who was a big, strong guy, kind of a Gage Johnson type, if you know what I'm talking about, only probably taller Gage. But he was the only person that could have thrown this monkey's fist, an iron ball with the rope attached to it, across the distance to the Arizona, where Donald Stratton and five others who were with him were able to get across this rope. But the amazing thing was is that they were able to do this under enemy fire because planes were still coming across and scattering bullets across the deck of these boats. It was a span of about 70 feet that this rope stretched. They couldn't get it any closer. And the bay underneath where oil was on fire, so flames came up, and there was a depth of about 45 feet there. And so with his hands burned and enemy fire coming across, he was determined that he was going to make it across to safety. So with no skin on his hands, he traveled 70 feet on a rope. And I don't know if you've ever tried to climb any kind of rope, but a rope will burn your hands even without burned skin. I have no idea how this man was able to do that. I have no idea how these other men who were also as badly burned were able to get across to that boat to safety. But it was something that he was determined to do. Nothing would stop him. Just like Zacchaeus, nothing was going to stop him from seeking Jesus and from finding Jesus. You see, I think that if we have as much determination as these men, we can have transformation in our life. But not only was it because Zacchaeus sought Jesus, not only because it was his encounter with Jesus, we also see that he let go of the tree. If you want to experience true transformation in your life, let go of the sin in your life and follow Jesus. This is exactly what Zacchaeus did. You see, he let go of the branches of sin and took Jesus into his home. I have that up there. There it is. One of the most difficult experiences I've had as a youth minister was dealing with a young man who was not on the right track. And he was so not on the right track that he could look you in the eyes and lie to you just like he was telling you the truth. You couldn't tell the difference. He had such a seared conscience that there was no telling what this young man would do. He was a Christian, but he could lie to you like he was telling you the truth. My wife has been a teacher for many years. She had him in class. He's one of the worst students that she's ever had in her class. You could not trust him. He was involved in alcohol, drugs, and many other things. When he graduated from high school, he actually should not even be here today, because he was on some type of drugs or alcohol, was in a very violent wreck, and if not for an airbag, he probably would have died. He had to have his neck fused the spine area of his neck. Those had to be fused together where he could not really bend up or down with his neck. He was extremely lucky to be alive. And I had not seen him in years and years, and a couple years ago I saw him at a football game over in Tecumseh. And I was actually surprised that he was still alive because of the decisions he had made, because even after his accident, that didn't really even change his life. He still did the things that he continued to be involved in. And it was at this point, a couple years ago, I saw him. I noticed that there was something different about him. His life has changed. You know that he apologized to me, apologized to Jennifer for the way that he had acted and the way that he had been. He talked about his children and how he was so desirous of them to be the kind of Christians that God would have them to be, and how he was trying really hard to be the kind of father that he needed to be to these children of his. And I encouraged him as I talked to him, and I was impressed. He was back in church. He was faithful. He was involved. And I was excited about those things. There had been a definite transformation in his life that I did not expect, that I did not see coming. And the truth simply is that it doesn't matter who you are or where you are in your life, the things that you have done, you can have a transformation in your life. You can change to be what God wants you to be. Let's be real about this. Part of the reason some of our kids go to camp is so that they can get their lives back on the right track. Part of the reason that some of you may be in this assembly this morning is because you desire to get your life back on the right track with God. Perhaps you've been doing things your way for weeks and months, or maybe even years now. But let me ask you a question. What do you have to show for it? Are you happy? Are you at peace? Do you feel confident in your salvation? Why not try things God's way? What do you have to lose? Why don't you put him to the test and see the difference that he will make in your life? We do need to try living God's way. That involves taking a look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Guys, let go of the branches of sin and take Jesus into your home. Take him to your workplace. Take him to your summer job. Take him to your school. Take him to wherever you are and allow him to work in your life. When you do those things, I want you to just, when you take Jesus to those places with you, I want you to notice, just notice. Step back and notice the difference that it will make. So if we seek Jesus as Zacchaeus did, if we let go of the tree like Zacchaeus did and let go of all the sin in our life, that will help us and lead us to this transformation. But the Bible also tells us in verse 8, he embraced right living. Zacchaeus experienced transformation that was not temporary. He is someone who is seriously changed. Whether Jesus is in his presence or in another city, it doesn't matter, because Zacchaeus is now living God's way. In 1908 to 1909, Sir Ernest Shackleton, an explorer of the Antarctic region, took himself and three other of his workers who were with him, went from their winter quarters and tried to trek to the South Pole. They took four horses loaded down with supplies that they would need. After 127 days and their goal not accomplished, they had made their way back to their winter quarters, running out of supplies, running out of food. They didn't know whether they were going to make it. They had dysentery. They faced all kinds of hardships. They were intensely hungry. And in his memoirs, what he says is that their constant thinking was about food, sumptuous delights, gourmet feasts. Every waking thought was about food. That's all they wanted. That's all they could think about. That's all their mind was focused on. Think about if we were to focus constantly on right living, constantly on doing things God's way, constantly on doing the right thing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." What about Proverbs 21:21? "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." You see, Jesus told Zacchaeus, "Look, Lord, here and now I'm going to give half of what I own to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll give back four times the amount that I cheated them." You know, let's take a look at what the old law demanded. You know, sometimes the law of Moses demanded really just one-fifth. We see that in Numbers chapter 5 and verse 7. One repay one-fifth what was stolen. Sometimes the law said you need to pay back double what was defrauded. Exodus chapter 22, verses 4, verse 7, verses 9. And then, of course, sometimes one must repay four times what they overcharged. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 1. You see, the interesting thing is that Zacchaeus volunteers to pay back four times the amount. You know, he was only required to pay the one-fifth, but he was not interested in the bare minimum. And neither should we be interested in just doing the bare minimum. He is sincere in his repentance, and he is genuine, and he has embraced right living. And when you embrace right living, as Zacchaeus did, then it becomes a habit, and this habit will stick. So there is no more playing fast and loose with the Lord. There's no more just getting by on the bare minimum. There's no more just doing things your way. It's doing things God's way. It's doing things the right way. And it makes every difference in the world. You see, lives are changed when things are done the right way. I think about the young man that I told you about in my youth group, and how his life was changed because he started doing things God's way. He started embracing right living. Well, you know, it's not really that difficult to put ourselves in Zacchaeus' shoes, is it? Like our short friend in Luke 19, you know, many of us are up a tree spiritually. So really what we need to do is just seek him. Our lives are messed up, poor condition. Remember, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He sees us regardless of our condition, and he says, "You know what? I want to go home with you. I want to set up residence in your heart. I want to set up a residence in your life today." And just like Zacchaeus, we can accept that invitation or we can reject it. And we start that by seeking Jesus. When we seek Jesus, that begins the transformation in our life. But then, you know, we got to let go of the branches of sin. You know, all of our children, they can probably sing this song, let it go, you know. I'm sure they could. I might just break out in a verse of it. But the truth is that there is sin in our life that we need to let go of. And when we let go of that sin in our life changes. Our life can change on a dime. And then it involves embracing that right living. It's living right that makes the difference. It's not just letting go of the sin. It's letting go of that and not going back to it. Not entering into that territory again. But to honestly and truly embrace right living. Just like Zacchaeus did. So really and truthfully, Zacchaeus sets us an amazing example. And I think about that song, that children's song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Man, that's a great song that I learned a long time ago when I was in the elementary grades, when I was just a child, and I remember my mother teaching me that and many other songs that are still with me today, and that I never thought that Zacchaeus would be such an example of how your life can just totally change if you want it to. But I got to do what he did for that to happen. I need to seek Jesus with all of my heart. I need to let go of the branches of sin in my life. And I need to embrace right living. And if I do those things, Jesus will make that difference in my life. He's standing at the door of your heart. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart today. Will you let him begin that transformation that cannot be stopped? Well, I hope and pray that your life is in a situation where you're ready to change it if it needs to be changed. And if we can help you in some way, fashion, or form, we want to do that today. Do you need the prayers of the church? Do you need to begin your life with Jesus and have your sins washed away in baptism? If we can help you in some way, please come now as together we stand and sing.